So for those of you who have been here, which is most of you, you would know that we are in a series called Immovable in the book of Daniel. And I have the pleasure today of just going one step further with that. We are in part five of our Immovable series today. And we are going to be talking about chapter five in Daniel, holding on to humility. And I just want to take a few minutes and just remind us where we have been just a little bit for the book of Daniel. We know that Daniel was a Hebrew. He was an Israelite living in a faraway land, and he was taken captive by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm going to pronounce all the names differently than everybody else. You know, those are funny names to have to pronounce. And I'll tell you what, when you get up here, you can say them any way you want to, and I'll just go with it, you know. So I'm going to say Daniel was taken captive by the king Nebuchadnezzar. But, you know, I just want to let you know that Daniel, when he was in Israel, was a young man, a very young man, and he was in nobility in Israel before he was taken captive. He was highly esteemed. He was a noble young man, and he was taken away captive. And I want to talk today about what it means to hold on to humility, you know, and to be immovable. Being immovable in Christ Jesus and what that looks like today. And holding on to humility isn't something that sounds very appealing. But Daniel knew how to be strong in the Lord and how to hold on to humility. And that is something that we need to learn how to hold on to. Daniel was a young man. He was taken into captivity. But, you know, just like Daniel, sometimes we are living in circumstances that aren't ideal. Sometimes we're dealing with situations that are difficult. And we need to learn how to hold on to humility, just like Daniel. The Bible says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew. So we need to learn how to take up our cross. In order to find our life, we need to be able to lose our life. And that's the story of Daniel. He lost his life. You know, when Daniel went into captivity, he lost his freedom, obviously. He lost his nobility. He lost his position. He lost his name. He lost his identity in a lot of respects. I mean, if you really think about it, and I was thinking a little bit about this, you know, what would it be like to be that type of person that was stripped of your freedom, was taken to live in another man's palace? I like my palace. But then you were given a name. Now, think of Daniel's name. And Daniel's name meant,
the Lord is my judge.
The Lord is my judge. Thank you. It meant, the Lord is my judge, or God rules me. And he was given this new name by this Babylonian king that meant, Lord, basically it represented one of the king's, Babylonian king's gods, Bel, which meant Lord of the Flies, or Lord of the Dung Heap. Now, I'm not going to go into the explanation of that too much, but it was not a good name. First, it represented a false god. Now, I don't know how you would feel, but I wouldn't want to be named after an idol or a false deity, one that was detestable to me, nor would I want to be called Lord of the Flies or Lord of the Pile of Dung Heap. Okay, so he was given a new name and a new identity. He was given charge to study all of these things in a culture that he didn't believe in, under things he didn't agree with. He was, so life changed drastically for him. He was taken away from his family. So my dad's coaching me in the back. That's okay. Hey, this is good. This is good family stuff. Life changed a lot for Daniel. But through this whole time, Daniel held on to something. He held on to his humility. He could have said, you know, I know better than this. I don't know who these people think they are. I serve the Almighty God, thank you. My name isn't Lord of the Flies. My name is God Rules Me.
That's right.
But he didn't. He came humbly before an Almighty God. And he humbled himself before God Almighty.
Amen.
And he held on to humility instead. So today we're just going to read through the story. And you're going to love me because, you know, this is a long story and we're going to read it together. And so I have lots of slides and it's just all scripture. But you're used to this when I get up here, aren't you? You're used to lots of scripture. So we're going to read this story. This story is fantastic because, you know, the book of Daniel is the first full six chapters. Daniel is so humble that he speaks in third person, the first full six chapters. He doesn't use the word I. He speaks in third person. What did I say? See, this is family time. Did I say third person?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Listen, there are so few people in this room, I can hear you whispering.
Uh-oh.
So you might as well just say it out loud. This is great. So he speaks in third person. But the great thing about chapter 4 here is that this is the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. This is King Nebuchadnezzar's testimony in his own words about how God humbled him. And so we're going to start in the very first verse, and I'm going to read it to you. Feel free to read along on whatever device, or I have it up on the screen. King Nebuchadnezzar starts out saying, Nebuchadnezzar, he's addressing all the people. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king to all the people, nations, and men of every language that live in all the earth. May your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. That's King Nebuchadnezzar saying that. And King Nebuchadnezzar at that time, for most of you, perhaps you've picked this up over the last few weeks, but King Nebuchadnezzar at that time ruled that whole area from Egypt all the way over to Babylon. He was the ruler of that whole area, the conquering king of that whole region. And so he had big influence in that area, and he's sending out this word to that whole region, saying how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. Goes on to say, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. In other words, there was no war. Things were good. I saw a dream and it made me fearful. And these fantasies as I lay on my bed and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. So I gave orders to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known to me the interpretations of the dream. Then the magicians and the conjurers and the Chaldeans and the diviners came in, and I related the dream to them, but they could not make the interpretation known to me. But finally Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And I related the dream to him, saying, O Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that a spirit of the holy gods is in you and no mystery baffles you, tell me the vision of my dream, which I have seen, along with its interpretation. Now these were the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached the sky, and it was visible to the ends of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches, and all living creatures fed themselves from it. I was looking in the vision in my mind, and as I lay on my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. He shouted out and spoke as followed: Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, yet leave the stump and its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field. And let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let the beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes, and he sets over it the lowliest of men. Let's think about the condition of Nebuchadnezzar's heart. Now, if you remember back a couple weeks, we know that Nebuchadnezzar had seen some pretty amazing things. I mean, he had seen Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, right? And what appeared in the fiery furnace but that fourth man? And then Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego weren't even burned up. I mean, they didn't even smell like smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar said, come out of that fiery furnace. And his proclamation at that time was, your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. So out of Nebuchadnezzar's very mouth, he's proclaiming that, whoa, you serve a pretty mighty God. He is a God of God and a Lord of kings. So Nebuchadnezzar had seen some pretty amazing things already. See, Nebuchadnezzar was convicted that there was a mighty God, but he was not converted. He recognized that there was a mighty God, but he was not repentant. We know this because when he had this dream that we're talking about in chapter 4 of this huge tree, what did he do? What was his first response? But he called in his magicians and his diviners and his conjurers to come in and to interpret the dream for him. Still, he was looking in all the wrong places for the answer. Still, he was serving his other gods. Still, he was looking to all the false deities and the idols for answers. He wasn't recognizing God Most High as the answer. So we know the condition of Nebuchadnezzar's heart wasn't bowed before an almighty God. Let's continue on to see how Daniel interprets this dream. Good. This is the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. But you, Belshazzar, tell me its interpretation, inasmuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom is able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts alarmed him. The king responded and says, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. Belshazzar replied, my lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you, or its interpretations to your adversaries, the tree that you saw which became large and grew strong, whose height reached to the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruits abundant, in which was food for all and under which the beasts of the field dwelt, in whose branches the birds of the sky lodged, it is you, O King. For you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached to the sky and your dominion to the end of the earth. In that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field. And let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beast of the field until 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. That you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given grass to eat, like cattle, and will be drenched with the dew of heaven, with 7 periods of time will pass over you, until you recognize that it is the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. As we hold on to humility, we speak truth. A humble heart speaks truth. Daniel spoke truth. He was humble before God, and he was humble under his authorities, and he spoke truth. It wasn't that the magicians, and conjurers and diviners couldn't interpret that dream. It was a pretty simple dream to interpret. The angelic watcher interpreted it pretty much. I think they were afraid to interpret it. They were afraid because it wasn't in the king's favor. Who wants to go before the king and say, well, you're going to live like an animal. Your kingdom's going to be stripped from you, and you're going to live like an animal out in the wilderness for 7 periods of time. And so I think they were afraid to interpret the dream for the king. But Daniel, in humility, spoke the truth. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came, he came in truth. That Jesus was the truth, the way, and the life. But it also tells us that just because he spoke the truth, not everyone believed. John 8:45 says, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. That was Jesus speaking. Speaking the truth doesn't mean it's going to convince people. And speaking the truth doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Speaking the truth is hard. Not everybody's going to receive the truth. Some will. But it's not always easy. And it's not always convincing. Not even Jesus could always convince people with the truth, but he spoke the truth. And Daniel spoke the truth. And we are to speak the truth. Amen. Let's read on verse 27. It says, therefore, O my king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sin by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given like grass to eat like cattle, given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes." Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagles, and the dew of heaven until his, grown like eagles' feathers and his nails like birds' claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hands or say to him, "What have you done?" At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors and nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Amen. As we hold on to humility, we give grace. A humble heart gives grace. Daniel, like I said earlier, could have been condemning, judgmental. He could have been bitter. But instead, he pleaded with the king, "If my advice be pleasing to you, break away from your sin." He could have been judgmental or nasty about it, but he didn't. He had to say, "But king," this is what God says, "But king, repent. Break away from your sin. God is merciful. God loves." Humility gives grace. Jesus came with grace. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as the begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." The greatest idol worship is worship of self. We see that through King Nebuchadnezzar. We saw that through Satan. "I will make myself like God." What was the fall of man, of Adam and Eve? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to become like God, knowing good and the good and evil. idol worship of self. Pride. A humble heart extends grace. We are called to give grace. Freely you have received, freely give, for we are saved by grace, right? So as to those who have been chosen of God, in Colossians 3:12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. As we hold on to humility, there are a couple keys to having a humble heart. There are a couple keys to holding on to humility. One is our perspective. Our perspective needs to be right. We need to see God for who He is. Isaiah 46:9 says, "Remember the former things of long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me."
Amen.
There is only one God. That has to be our perspective. But along with that, we need to know in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ." But although He is God, He is a God of love, rich in mercy and grace. I was thinking of Billy Graham this last week as I watched his funeral on YouTube, because I don't have TV. And that closing scene where the bagpipes start playing. And I did fine throughout the whole funeral. And quite frankly, I didn't mourn the death of Billy Graham. What an amazing, amazing thing. And those bagpipes start playing. And I think I was right. It was Amazing Grace. And as I started to listen to that song, I just felt waves of God's grace. And I imagined the waves of the multitudes of people that God's grace had washed over across the earth. The goodness of God's grace as He used Billy Graham's ministry to wash over on this earth.
Amen.
The multitudes and multitudes of people that through one person's ministry, that God's grace had reached across this whole earth. And I was overwhelmed, just to the point I was weeping. I was like, oh my word, why am I weeping? I'm not sad. I'm just overwhelmed by the grace of God extended through one man's ministry. God's grace is just unfathomable. And sometimes we forget that, yes, He is Almighty God, but His grace is overwhelming. His love, His riches of love, is unfathomable. And we are called to extend that grace and to hold on to that for ourselves and for others. So our perspective, having that in our perspective, our position. When we hold on to humility, we have a certain position we need to take. 1 Peter 5 says, "And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Having, it goes on in Philippians to say, having this attitude in yourselves, it was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So our position as we hold on to humility is that of humbling ourselves. You know, there is no safer place than humbling ourselves before God. Sounds kind of crazy, but like I said at the beginning, sometimes life is difficult and circumstances aren't always what we wish they were. And I find for me, in order to remain immovable, I stay on my knees. And I humble myself before Almighty God. Amen. Because in the place of humility, I always find grace. When I humble myself before God, I know, one, I will always, always find his grace. And his grace is always sufficient for me.
Amen.
When things get tough, you'll find me on my knees, sometimes not even on my knees, but on my face. Actually, not even when things get tough. I have learned that I am just there every day. Because I know if I stay there, then I don't have to run there when things get tough. God is good that way. I hold on to humility. Because then, when I am in weak, he becomes my strength.
Amen.
And I know that when time is right, he will exalt me. There will be a place and a time. Because his word promises it, and he is not a man that he would lie. His promises over me are yes and amen. And as I have received his grace and his truth, I give it. I'm not perfect at it. But I only have that which he has put into me to give out. So it's a safe place for me to be on my face and on my knees. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. That blows my mind that Jesus would say, Chris, come here, yoke together with me. Hook up with me, Chris. Learn from me, Chris. Let's walk this road together. And I am going to teach you. Jesus says, I am humble and I am gentle. And then he says, and you will find rest for your soul. I'm going to close with Jeremiah 7, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like the tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will be not anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe you need more grace today. Maybe you need more truth. I encourage you to grab hold of humility, to remain immovable. If you want to stand with me, Father God is here to meet your needs. He is here to give you strength, to give you grace. Just encourage you as I close in prayer to just reach out your hands to anything you would need from the Father and to lift up your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that is true. Lord, I thank you that you help us to remain immovable in you. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that your word is living and breathing and true, that it washes over us and brings life. Father, I ask that your word would be planted into our hearts and it would bring forth life. Lord, I ask for grace to walk through the things we walk through. I ask for the ability to be humble before you, Father. I ask that you meet us where we're at. Bless your people. Meet their needs. In the mighty name of Jesus, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.